You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
I got some good news for you tonight. God is good. I don't know what lie you might have believed, but God is good. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise in here. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout of praise in here. We talked a little bit this morning about how the devil lies to you. And I don't know if you've believed anything else about God, but God is good. God is good. He's always good. He only does good. The devil is bad. He always does bad. He always comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God is good. He's always good. And God is on your side. Amen. God is on your side. Amen. Come on, give him another shout of praise as you take your seats this morning, this afternoon, this evening. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're good. And yes, Lord, we are grateful for everything you've done in our lives. Yes, Lord, we are grateful that you are good and always good and only good. And we are grateful that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That, Lord God, whatever the enemy might ever throw at us, that you're greater, you're bigger, you're more amazing, more powerful, Lord God, and you live in us. And we have the privilege of carrying, of being vessels of your goodness and vessels of your grace. These vessels of clay, these vessels, these earthen vessels. God, we're grateful. And we thank you. God, I pray tonight, as I preach your word, that you would speak to these people. God, I thank you for the privilege to be your mouthpiece tonight. God, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Man, it's good to be here tonight, hey? The remnant. Still can't believe what like a threat of like snow or ice will do to an Iowan. Like, it still blows my mind. I'm an Australian, right? Y'all were born here, right? And so like, oh, you guys came and that's fantastic. But like, what happened to your friends tonight, right? Oh my gosh, there's snow. Yes, Iowa, right? Like, I know it's not as bad as Texas. If someone just talks about snow, people start crashing their cars, right? But here, I thought you'd be able to at least withstand a little bit, you know? But mind you, we did say this morning, if you feel like you might not be safe on the road, like if you drive a Prius or something, then maybe you should stay home. And so we want you to be safe, right? And so does anyone drive a Prius in here? If you do, I apologize. They're a great car, and praise God, I like electricity. Awesome. All right. So, hey, this morning we talked a little bit about how you have an adversary, all right? Or as I said, an adversary, all right? Which is the right way to say it, right, baby? Yeah, you have an adversary, yes. Or an adversary, as a... Adversary does sound more evil, though, doesn't it? You know, you can have an adversary, you know? It just sounds like, you know... But that's, I guess, because I'm from Australia, and we're like, you know, an adversary, what's he going to do to me? Sounds more like an adversary, you know? Like, but adversary, it just sounds more evil, doesn't it, right? But am I on my own with this? There you go. Well, anyway, this morning, we talked about the fact that you do have an adversary. His name is the devil, and he hates you. And good news, all right? And he hates everything about God and everything about you because you're a child of God. And even if you don't believe in God or you don't know Jesus, he hates you because you too were made in the image of God. And that means God made you and made you a little bit like him. You're a part of God's wonderful creation. You are his wonderful creation and he loves you. And so the devil hates you and he wants to crush you, your family, your relationship, so that you'll never call out to God again because he wants to hurt you to hurt God, and he's the father of lies. You know that? He's the father of lies. We have an adversary, and he is the father of lies. He doesn't want you to know what God says about you. He doesn't want you to feel what God feels for you. He wants you to feel how he feels, like a loser, like a failure, like an unworthy and evil schlub. That's how the devil wants you to feel. You know that? But guess what? Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Can I get an amen? Greater is our God who lives in us. You are not what he says about you. He doesn't want you to understand that God is a good, good father who only wants good for you. He doesn't want you to ever know that God favors you over all those who don't know him. He doesn't want you to know that God blesses you and can bless you exceedingly, abundantly above all that you could ever ask or imagine. He doesn't want you to know that God loves you. He doesn't want you to know, he really doesn't want you to know, that God loves you smack bang in the middle of your sin. That he loved you before your sin and still at the other end of your sin. He doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to know that God will never ever leave you and he'll never ever forsake you. He doesn't want you to know that. But guess what? He's a liar. He's a liar. He wants to lie to you and create a life of lies for you to live in. Come on now, are you with me? Then some of you have been living a lie. Some of you have been living this lie where the devil told you, this is all you can do. This is all you can ever pretend to be because you're a mess, and so just pretend. You just got to pretend. Just pretend that this is what you are while you'll never actually be that. Some of you have been living with his lies, believing the trash that he says about you. Some of you believe that you're useless. Some of you believe that you're not as good as the rest of us. Some of you believe that you're too poor, too rich, too ugly, too fat, too skinny to be of any use to the kingdom of God or even to have a friend. Some of you believe that you're damaged goods. Some of you believe that you'll never be whole again. Some of you feel like you're a used rag, something that's been used on a motor oil and just thrown away. And you say things like, I feel this way because life has beat me up. You've ever said that before? Life has beat me up. I want to tell you, life didn't beat you up. Life did not beat you up. It's time you know what really happened. It's time you know that it was the devil that beat you up. It wasn't life. It wasn't us. It wasn't God. Life didn't beat you up, and you've bought that lie too, that, well, life just beats people up. No, it doesn't. Life's a beautiful thing. Death is a terrible thing. Life is a beautiful thing, and life doesn't beat people up, but the devil beats people up. He beat you up. Life didn't beat you up. He attacked you. He destroyed you. He lied to you. He hurt you. He said you're damaged goods, and you believed him. And tonight you need to put on the belt of truth. No more lies. Come on, someone say, no more lies. No more lies. Come on now. You got to put on the belt of truth. So let's quickly read a portion of the scripture that we read this morning from Ephesians 6, verse 12 to 14. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of, against the authorities of, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Come on now, these people aren't your enemy. This life didn't beat you up. The spiritual world is real and the devil hates you, and so he beat you up. He wanted to hurt God, so he can't hurt God. He thought, if I hurt you, it'll hurt God. Guess what? It does hurt God when you get hurt. Yeah, he's a wily little bugger. He knows that it'll hurt you, right? And it does hurt you. It does hurt God too. So that's how he wants to get to God, because God loves you. Just like if you hurt my son, it hurts me, doesn't it? Come on now. And so there he says, Paul, therefore put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. Then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Come on, you can stand firm. See, John 8 says that he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. So the devil is the father of lies. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The devil's the father of lies. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Come on now. So what are we supposed to do when the devil throws these lies at us? You're worthless. You're useless. You're not good looking enough. Come on now. What are you supposed to do? See, I'm just a boy from a country town. The nearest town to where we live was 300 people. It had a pub, which was good for nothing but getting drunk at. It had a swimming pool that I don't think ever got cleaned. It had one street. If you didn't live on it, you're a farmer. That's where I come from. It was called Merrygum. And I think they meant to say merry-go-round, because all that happens there is we go round and round and round and nothing ever happens, right? It was called Merrygum. That was the nearest town to where I lived. I was the skinniest creature you've ever seen in your life. In your life. I had a body that a young girl would love to have. But I was a young boy and it was a problem. I had hair that went every which direction. My only solution was to shave my head or grow it out really long. I bleached it one time, it was white, and then it was green because I milked cows, right? This is what I looked like. I drove a 78 Corolla to college. I bought it the day before, the week before I drove it 10 hours to college. I bought it out of a paddock. It had been a field. A paddock is a field. I bought it out of a field. It had been there for 15 years. I put petrol in it, gas. I'm really reverting to Australian today, aren't I? I'm really struggling with the lingo today. It just happens every now and again. I put gasoline in it. I put oil in it. I started her up in a new battery, and then a week later, I drove it to Adelaide 10 hours. I was not set up to do or be anything, right? And I had been prophesied over my whole life. Jesse, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. What was prophesied? Actually, this, right? But still, every now and again, the devil would get in there and say, you are the skinniest, weirdest-looking preacher that would ever walk the planet. And you better believe I believed some of that every now and again. I really did. You know, how many, let's be real, okay? Let's talk about this. How many of the preachers that you've seen with great and influential godly churches are so skinny they have to run around in the shower just to get wet? I would be the only one, right? Seriously, there is this stereotype that the devil created in my head and I didn't fit it. But you gotta stop believing the lies. What do you do when the devil throws these lies at you? We gotta go to the truth. We go straight to Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Come on now. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more truth will be in you, and the more you'll be in the truth. The more truth that's in you, the more you'll spot the lies. The more you know the truth, the more you can pick a lie, right? And so you've got to spend more time with Jesus. The truth always brings freedom. If it's a lie, it will bring hurt. It will bring pain. It will bring destruction into your life. If not today, tomorrow. If not tomorrow, next week. If not next week, the day will come when the lie will hurt you. The day will come when the lie will bring destruction into your life. Don't believe the lie. Jesus always brings life and truth. And truth, Jesus' truth, brings freedom from the lies and the bondage of the devil every time. Can I get an amen? Don't believe the lie. I'm telling you right now, if I believed the lie, I would not have had the faith to even apply for my first job as youth pastor. If I believed the lie, I wouldn't have asked this foxy lady to marry me, that's for sure. That would never have happened. You better believe it, right? If I believed the lie, I would still be running in the family business of just struggling to not be addicted to things. That's where I would be. But I believe the truth. And the truth was what was prophesied over me as a young guy. And every time the devil comes in and says, you can't do that or that or that because you ain't set up for that. I said, this is what the Lord said about me. See, what you're saying, devil, doesn't line up with what the Word of God says about me. But what these people prophesied over my life, now that lines up with what the Word of God says about me. Amen? Have you heard about Jabez? You've heard about Jabez? Some people, most people probably haven't. Have you read the thousands, the hundreds and thousands of verses in the Bible about Jabez? Are you familiar with his fascinating and very popular story from Scripture? Probably not. He's not a super popular Bible figure like King David. He's not a well-known prophet like Isaiah. He's not a Messiah like Jesus Christ. He's not in hundreds of verses. There's hardly any verses written about him in Scripture. He's only in one book of the Bible, not mentioned in any other book of the Bible at all. And in that one book, he's only mentioned in one chapter. And in that one chapter, he's only in two verses. Let's read them. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 to 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez. Well, thanks, Mum. Saying, because I bore him in pain. I'm going to name you Jabez because I bore you in pain. Welcome to life. Your name is pain. Jabez called upon God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that I might not be in pain. And God granted his request. What? Two little verses. So in all of Scripture, the guy gets two verses. Just two verses. But these two verses tell us so much about him. Interesting. The whole chunk of Bible before that is talking about people who were related to who, whose sons were whose, and he's not even mentioned. It talks about this big list of people and says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. But the list didn't even mention him. It'd be like saying, in church today, there was Brandon and Nathan and Aaron. Now Steve was more honorable than his brothers. We didn't even talk about Steve. There is no Steve. Who's Steve? That's what's happening right here with Jabez. Who's Jabez? There is no Jabez. What are you talking about? Why did they put him in here? We don't even know why the writer put him in there, except that God wanted us to know some very important truths from his short two verses. Starts with him being born in pain and Mama naming him Pain. She's a lovely woman. Now, I'm not making a joke, but my wife bore all four of our kids in pain. She didn't name any of them Pain. Not even one. Not even the worst one didn't get named Pain. Come here, Pain. Get me another beer, Pain. Hey, Pain. 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 Your little pain in there. Remember that time I gave birth to you? Yeah, it sucked. That's what this guy's life was. Every time someone called him, it was, you really hurt your mama that day you were born, son. Now, I'm not making a joke right now, but a friend of mine, his wife died in childbirth. My friend Ian did not name his beautiful daughter Death. Didn't happen. He didn't name his little girl Isabella. He didn't name her Death. He named her Isabella. So this guy is not surrounded by the most encouraging, modern, functioning kind of family that you might see on the telly or in some romantic movie these days. From his birth, he was called a little pain in the whatever it is. His parents and his dishonorable brothers, as Scripture told us in the short two verses, we know that his brothers were not honorable. They all gave him stick. They called him pain. And after a while, you do begin to become what others label you, if you let them, don't you? And so this guy, after a while of not having any armor that we talked about this morning, you might begin to believe the lies of the devil. You can get them stuck in your head. They can become your own belief system. You see, Jabez was discounted by everyone, by his mother, And obviously his weak father, who didn't stop his mother from calling him Pain, right? So discounted from his mother and his father, dishonored by his brothers, he was discounted by everyone but not disqualified by God. Amen? He was not disqualified by God. Have you ever been discounted? If you have, you know what it feels like. If you haven't, praise God and thank God. But if you've ever been discounted, you know what it feels like. Have you ever been cast aside? Do people look at you and see pain? Do people look at you and see the pain that maybe you've done to them and that's all you'll ever be to them? Do people remind you of how you hurt them every time you see them? You did this, you did this, you did this. When I gave birth to you, it sucked. Have they discounted you because of how you began? Maybe your Christian life started off a little rocky. You weren't a perfect Christian. That's probably why you ended up here. You're like, I heard about those eternity folk. They are not perfect. I'm going to go worship with them. Good choice. You would be right. I heard, by the way, if we're talking about the rumors about this church, by the way, I heard the pastor is all kinds of jacked up. That's what I heard. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. So that's why y'all turned up, right? Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, if you've been disqualified because of how you begun at this place here, you are not disqualified. If people discounted you, you are not disqualified. If people remind you of the times that you hurt them, not so here. Come on now. If you hurt one of us here, we're going to do our level best to respond to you like Christ and say, I forgive you. Come on, get back up in here. Right? That's how we're going to do it here. You are not disqualified. What you need to do is you need to pray a prayer of faith like Jabez prayed. Someone say amen. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border. That your hand would be with me. That you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. Did you catch that? Keep me from harm that it might not bring me pain. Because Jabez had become what he was labeled. Jabez had become pain. So he asked the Lord to change a few things around here. You know, Scripture says you do not have because you do not ask. Maybe you need to ask God for a couple of things. So Jabez called out in the middle of his pain. And what happens, it says, is the Lord granted his request. How simple is that? The Lord granted his request. So what do we have here? We have a dude who's been discounted by everybody else, who's been labeled pain, who became too familiar with his own pain, a man who was living a life believing the lies of the devil, that he is pain, that he is painful, that he will always be a miserable, painful man. But at some point in his life, he realized that what had begun to be his life was not the truth. What he'd been believing was not the truth. So in the middle of his pain, he calls out to a mighty God and says, oh, that you would bless me, enlarge my border, keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted his request. So the guy that no one talked about, who many of us may never have even heard of, goes from living a life of anonymity where we would never have heard of him, a life of pain, a life where no one respected him enough to give him a name. And he goes to a life with God's hand on his life. A life free from pain. He goes from there to a place where God blessed him so much that he needed more room to contain the blessing. Enlarge my place. Bless me. Enlarge my border. That sounds a lot like Malachi 3:10, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it? That sounds a lot like Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room to store it. And God actually done it in Jabez's life. Can I have the band come back up? If you've been falling for the lies of the devil, it's time you pray a prayer of faith like Jabez said and say, no more pain. No more pain, Josh. No more pain, amen? It's time you pray the prayer. God, enlarge my borders. Bless me. May your hand be upon me. Don't let me come into any more pain. Did you know you could pray that prayer? People are all like, pain's a part of life. Like crap it is. It may be what the devil does to us. It's not life. Life is life. Life is a gift from God. Pain is not a part of life. Pain is a part of what the enemy tries to do to us. Come on now. Why do we settle for stupid things like that? Pain's just a part of life. Well, pain might be a part of death, but it ain't a part of life because life comes from God and only good things come from God. Come on now. Someone say amen. And so God done that in Jabez's life. Enlarge my territory, give me more. I will serve and bless you always with all that you give me, Lord. It's time to pray some Jabez prayers. Would you stand up with me, church? My name is not Divorcee. I will not be called Divorcee anymore. I will not live a life as a divorcee. Amen? Come on now. My name is not Sorrow. I will not be called Sorrow. I will not live in sorrow anymore. Amen. My name is not Adulterer. I will not be called Adulterer anymore, and I'll not live in it either. People are going to try and keep you stuck in what you did. You might have done some of these things. That's not who you are. Don't let the devil trick you into believing that this is who you are. This is not who you are. Don't believe the lie. No more lies. My name is not Drunkard. I will not be called a drunkard anymore. I will not live in drunkenness. My name is not Abuser. I will not be called Abuser anymore. It's not who I am. My name is not Anger. I will not live in anger anymore. I will not be called an angry man or woman anymore. That's not who I am. I'm not believing the lies. You got to say it to yourself because you fell for the lie yourself. You got to tell you, this is a lie. Let the truth of God get into me. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory, that I would not be overcome by these thoughts anymore. Stop believing the lies. Stop living the lies. Remember who you are. You're a child of the Most High God, a prince, a princess of God, a son, or a daughter of the King. He loves you. His favor is on you. What do you want? What do you want? Right now, I'm asking you. You don't have to yell it out, but I want you to answer it. I want you to answer this in your heart. You can whisper it. You can say it if you want. You can say it in your head. But I'm asking you a real question. If you don't know the answer to this, you need to spend some time in prayer. Start hearing from God. Or maybe you just need to realize how big God is. But now I'm asking you, what do you want? Answer that question in your head, in your heart. If God is in this room and He's your Father, what do you want to ask Him for in faith tonight? He can do exceedingly above all that you can ask or imagine, which means more than whatever you just said. I said, what do you want? What do you need? What do you want? If you can think of it, He can do more than that. That's what this verse says, exceedingly, abundantly above all that you could ask or imagine. Is it so big that you're going to need to come and get prayer? Is it so big that you're going to need to write it down somewhere and pray for it every morning? What do you want? I feel like I'm going to keep saying that. What do you want? You want something from God. Ask him for it. I don't want to live in sorrow anymore. All right, we can do that. I don't want to live in pain anymore. All right, he can do that. I want to find a husband. All right, he can do that. I want to find a wife. All right, he can do that. I want a job. All right, he can do that. I want to be free from addiction. All right, he can do that. I want a baby. All right, he can do that. I want a home. All right, he can do that. What do you want? God is asking you tonight, what do you want? In a moment, we're going to open up the front here for you to come and get prayer. Actually, you know what? We won't do that. Anyone who stays up here after the service will pray for you. But in fact, what we'll do is we're going to sing I Am Set Free and probably one other song after that. And I preach a little quick tonight, so we could sing two songs. We could come up here and you can worship God and you can ask him for what you want. You. Now, we stand with you and pray, and if you don't have enough faith, and that's okay, because sometimes our faith gets wounded, not by life, but by the devil, then we'll stand with you at the end of the service and pray for you, all right? But what you need to do right now is you need to come and worship God and ask your Father for that thing that you want. And then you're going to go home and you're going to write it down. You're going to see something crazy happen in your life. Yeah, praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.